Church, how are you? Good? Well, I want to share a couple things with you this morning. I got to grab my IV kit here, though, because I'm a little spent. I'm not sure where they got this. It looks like this has been used. That's probably not a bad idea to take a needle and go ahead and insert that with used blood that's in here. I'm sure it'll be just fine. So what blood type are you this morning? I'd like to know, but every time I go to the doctor, they ask, what blood type are you? I said, my wife's not here. You should probably ask her. I don't know, not that she's, always hitting me and giving me a bloody nose or anything, and she knows my blood type, but that my wife just knows our blood types. I'm not sure what I am. I am O positive? Oh, I don't want to be O positive. Am I O positive? She wasn't here in first service, so I don't know. She's A positive, just like all of her grades in college and high school, A positive. I want to be B positive because sometimes I can be negative. B. Okay, there you go. That's free. I want to talk to you about something going on today at Grace Anatomy here at the hospital. The church ought to be a hospital where you can be healed. And so today my thought is, what blood type are you? There's something going on right now that just makes me feel so, so good. There's this thing going around our country, or at least it entered into our country. The government told us it wouldn't, but there's this thing called Ebola. A guy from West Africa went into Dallas, Texas, and he had Ebola. And the government, though, told us that disease, Ebola, we don't have to worry about it as citizens in the U.S. And when the government reassures me, I feel pretty good about that. How many of you feel pretty good that the government says, hey, you don't have to worry about this? And they said, nobody's going to get it. We got it. This is no big deal. Ebola, it's got to be transmitted by, I don't know. I didn't even know. It was like, oh, you got to sacrifice 3 puppies. You have to take a bath in it. And then you have to kind of mix that water. And if you're in there, you might get it. But don't worry, you won't get it. And then 2 nurses got it. Well, the government assured us, well, these nurses didn't do right in wearing their hazmat suits. So you don't need to worry about it, citizens. They didn't wear their hazmat suits. These trained professionals who are wearing all this garb, they did it wrong. I don't own any of that stuff, but don't worry about it. So that made me feel pretty good. And they said, we got it under control. It'll never happen again. And then New York City, guy got it in New York City. Now a guy in Ohio and somebody in Armada right down the road. Wait, no. Don't start that. Wasn't that interesting? Did you see your reaction? What? Armada? Armada's right here. It doesn't matter if it's in Armada or Fort Gratiot or Marysville. You're not going to get it. Our government told us it's not that big a deal. And our government would not lie to us. Stop. This is not an anti-government meeting. Stop. That meeting happened somewhere else. This is a matter of, I don't even know what Ebola is, so I looked it up. What is Ebola? Ebola. It sounds like, something you cook on the stove and you put some Ebola in your e-chili. I don't know. So Ebola sounds like something you get online. What is Ebola? And so I looked it up. And what I looked up was crazy. Oh, I don't know how this is doing this. Technology. Ebola. Oh, I don't even need here's what they said. I'm trying to make this technology. I downloaded this, and then it put it in a box in my app, and then it keeps growing and spinning. Technology is not my friend today. Here we go. Ebola is not a big deal. At the end of the stage of the disease, you have small leaks in your blood vessels. So this is my introduction. I did a lot of research this weekend on this. An immunologist. I didn't know there was such a thing as an immunologist. And he was working with a virologist. That sounds good to me, so I trust them because they have names that I cannot pronounce. A guy from Galveston, Texas says, you end up with essentially no blood pressure, your body temperature drops, and you go into shock. But when you look at the nitty-gritty of Ebola, here's what happens. Surprisingly, the virus isn't what kills you. It's your own immune system. So what happens is, there's this thing that takes place. In essence, it causes, and they have a word for this. I've never heard of this word, so here we go. That's like 2 years ago. I didn't know what a selfie was. Now it's the number one word in our society. So this will be the new word. It causes a cytokine storm. Cytokine. All you doctors in here and nurses, cytokine. So I looked that up. So I'm looking up the definition. Now I'm looking up the definitions to find the definition. Cytokine storm is pretty simple. It's this. Ebola doesn't kill you. What it does is it goes into all of your corpuscles, your veins, and your capillaries. And what it does is it dissolves them. It weakens the structure of your body. And it destroys it. So what happens is you basically bleed out. Your blood kills you. Isn't that amazing? Your blood kills you. It just absolutely floods. It goes into this storm in your body, and everything goes into chaos. And then you start, blood goes into your lungs, blood goes into your body, and every place it's not supposed to be. And you basically die from that. Isn't that awesome? But there's one other thing, and this is what our government says. You don't got to worry about this. And I'm thinking, you can keep that about as far away from my house as you possibly can. I don't want that in my house. I don't want it in my state. I don't want it in my country. How do we get things like this? How does our body get something that goes in, creates this huge storm that makes our blood go crazy into a storm system, and it basically kills us? And what's interesting, my blood is my life. You know that, right? That's what Leviticus says. Look in the book of Leviticus. It says in chapter 17, verse 14, our Bible tells us the most, I love the Bible. It's the most scientific book ever written. You can find more things about stuff that we use medically than any other book in a foundation. So I love science and I love my Bible. And here's what it says. Because life of every creature is in its blood. That's why I told the Israelites, don't eat the blood. That sounds like good advice. But here's the problem. Don't eat the blood because the life of every creature is in its blood. Anyone who eats it must be cut off. If you and I and animals and birds and reptiles and fish all have that commonality, we all have blood and it's our life, wouldn't it make sense to wake up in the morning instead of having a cup of orange juice, have a cup of blood? If it's life. But the problem is your blood is not life. You have life because of it. And without your blood, you cannot live. But do you know that your blood is killing you today? The toxins in your blood are poisonous to you as a human. Without your kidney, you would be dead from the very thing that you should be living from. Isn't that ironic? Now we got this thing, Ebola. And here's the unique thing about Ebola that's not so great. It's not even so much that there's this huge storm in your body, but your body should go fight it. Our body can't, it said it's worse than AIDS or anything that we've ever, AIDS, they said, is like a baby disease compared to this thing. Because what they said is Ebola has this little sleeper that goes in and communicates with your white blood cells, your healing blood, and it tells it there's nothing wrong in your body. So the things in your body that should go fight for you stay asleep. That's what really gets crazy about this. You could be healed from it, but it's got a sleeper cell in your body, and it kills you because it says there's nothing wrong. Let me say that again. This morning, I want to talk to you about Grace Anatomy and your blood type, because here it is. We live in a world where most people don't know what you have inside is killing you, because we are all asleep, and we don't know that the very sin that's within us is killing us, because most human beings don't think anything's wrong. In the words of Ricky to Lucy, let me explain, because I don't think you're getting it. Zombies, Walking Dead, now we're talking, okay, because our society is fascinated with it. St. Louis, Missouri, spending like $50,000 having a zombie apocalypse awareness emergency planning. I'm like, really? I'm not saying our world's in trouble, but boy, our world is in trouble. We got kids hungry in Missouri, and we're going to spend $50,000 doing an apocalypse for zombies. Okay, so let me explain this to you. Zombies don't know they're zombies, so they're not looking to go to a hospital. They're looking to eat more things. Okay. The reason most people don't go to church is because most people don't know they need church. The reason most people don't ask for Jesus to heal them, they don't know that they're sick. Because in their soul, there's a dormant thing called original sin that says, I'm just fine. I'm as good as the next guy. Everything's going to be all right. And when I die and I get to heaven, listen, if it's all there, God's going to just let me in anyway. And if I go to hell, hey, hell doesn't want, or heaven doesn't want me, and the devil's afraid I'll take over. I had a man tell me that. I said, don't flatter yourself. You're going to... You meet that devil, let me know how that conversation's going to go, because it's not going to be, oh, the devil goes, ooh, I'm scared. Pal, if this thing is for real, you're about to walk into an eternity with a disease that you didn't know existed in your body because you don't believe in sin and sickness. You don't believe in evil in the world. Listen, we live in a world that is infected with bad blood. Turn on the news. They're decapitating people. We don't know what to do with ISIS. We don't know what to do with the pedophiles. We don't know what to do with pornography. We can't make it illegal. We can illegal freedom of speech. If you're a Christian, please, whatever you do, don't talk about Jesus anywhere. I mean, if you do that, we might sue you, kick you out of school, or do something, because that's a bad thing. But listen, we can't stop the First Amendment pornography, the number one industry in the United States, financially on Wall Street. And 30 million women and children are trafficked. We can't say that. We have a sickness in our society, and we are dormant because the disease of sin has said, we're not sick. Wake up. We need a transfusion. And so there's a woman who has a blood problem. Her name, I don't even know. How old is she? I'm going to say she's 80. That's just a good number for me. She's an older lady. She's had an issue of blood for umpteen years. Years. She's been bleeding for years. She's walking along, she sees a crowd, she's got one thing in her mind, get to that man, get to Jesus. Why does she want to get to Jesus? Because she's heard stories. Jesus had just finished on the other side of the lake, got on a boat, come over here, everybody runs around the lake, everybody's in boats, they're like, he just healed a demon. Bob over there had an anger issue, he had problems. Jesus just cast out demons. That guy had so many demons. And he cast them out. And the guy's like in his right mind. Nobody's ever seen Bob in his right mind. You know people like that, right? See, people that are sick don't know they're sick. Most of us just do this. Oh, that's just the way he is. You guys know people like this. I hear it all the time. A lady will just absolutely just gossip and treat other women like, oh, she'll say things. Ladies, it happens. And it's not just ladies, but let me just entertain me here. And so they'll say something, and she's just that way. And her friends will just say, oh, that's just the way she is. I'm like, that ain't the way she is. That ain't the way she ought to be. Or guys will be just like, you know, well, yeah, I go to church, I do this and I do that, but man, I can slam down the Crown Royal or the Jack Daniels. And they get drunk, they swear, they cuss, they do things, or they just get anger, they have an anger issue. I mean, they just fly off the handle. You know the guys. And people say, oh, that's just the way he is. I mean, guys will say to me, well, I'm Irish. What does that mean? Oh, he just gets angry and drinks like that. He's Irish. I'm like, what does that mean? Is that an excuse? Oh, that's just the way he is. Punch him in the nose. What'd you do that for, Pastor? I'm Irish. You're a pastor. You can't punch me in the nose. Right. Because sick people don't know they're sick. Zombies don't know they're zombies. We need a transfusion. I want to share with you, just take a minute here. My wife said, don't do it. When she got home last night from the house, I don't know, it was like 2 in the morning, she came, she goes, I didn't know you were still awake. I said, I can't sleep. I've been looking at my notes. I want to put out this 3 points, a poem and a prayer. See, when I was in homiletics in college, they said, if people are going to get it, you gotta paint the picture like any good communicator. 3 points, a poem and a prayer. And your 3 points ought to have alliteration. Make them rhyme. So last night I'm trying to rhyme blood. Blood. Flood. I'm done. I got nothing. They're not going to remember this. I said, I want to do a David Letterman countdown, the top 10 things I know about this woman who reached out who had a blood problem, and Jesus wants to heal our blood problems. And so I shared them with her, and she goes, that's not going to work. You're all over the place. And so I said, you're right. Okay. God, you're just going to have to, in my sleep, give me something else. I woke up this morning. She doesn't know it. We're going to go back to the David Letterman top 10. So this isn't going to make sense? Okay, but here it is. It seemed to work in first service. I want to show you a couple things that I know, because if we don't do something about this now, we're going to be in trouble. I don't have 10. Because if I had 10, we'd be here for hours and hours and hours. I only have 8. Here's what I know about this story. This woman, here's what I know. Let me just share this. Number one, this is what I learned. This is what I learned about this issue. Number one, you guys have issues. That's what I know about this problem. You guys all have issues. Some of you have more issues than others. And I'm not looking at anybody in the front row on the end. I'll look this way. I just can't stop when I'm talking. Some of you have lots and lots of issues. This woman had issues for years. If we have issues, I think the most important thing we need to understand, we all have issues. We're all broken. Our blood is broken with sin. You got blood, you got something inside your heart, and it's killing you. If you don't recognize that, you will never fix the problem. And we live in a world right now that doesn't want to fix the problem because we're all okay. In fact, the very solution is the very thing that we've outlawed. So let me just go through it this way. We have an issue. Romans 3:23 tells me I have an issue in my blood. We'll go ahead and bring that up for you. It says, for all, help me, for all have. Okay, there's your issue. We all have an issue of blood. Our blood is tainted and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all zombies, and we're walking around in a world of zombies. As I told the youth the other day in our Walking Dead series, zombies don't know they're zombies. But the second thing I told them is, you know, isn't it interesting that zombies don't eat zombies? Have you guys ever noticed that on all these shows? It's like, why don't they just eat each other? Because they only attack the living. You want to know why the world is after you? If you have the life of Christ, the dead hate the living. Jesus said, they hate me. I'm the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. Men love darkness. Zombies hate living. If you're alive, get ready to be attacked. Are you surprised? We always attack successful people and people who have life. Somehow we're jealous, or they did it wrong, or something's wrong. Okay, so number one, we all have issues. Number two, wow, we're going that fast, yes. Number two, the doctor will see you now. The doctor will see you now. Look at verse 24 in Mark chapter 5. This woman is walking, and in Mark chapter 5, it says this, so Jesus went with him. Here's the story. Jesus lands on a boat, and a man comes over, and he drops to his knees, and he cries, my daughter's dying. Will you come? And Jesus says, get up. Let's go to your house. The doctor is in. What I know about Jesus, can I brag about my Jesus, my God? I don't care about other gods. I really don't, because he is the one true God. He's the only one with an empty tomb. He's the only one with no death date. He is at the right hand of God the Father. He's the only one that's shown himself. He's the only one that's conquered death. He is the Messiah, the Son of God, my Savior. Let me brag on him for just a minute. This guy shows up and says, will you come to my house and heal my daughter? He could have said, I just got done. Oh, you don't understand. I just fought with legion. Legion. By the way, that means 100. I just fought with legion. I'm sorry, excuse me, no, that's 1,000. Centurion's 100. I just cast out so many demons out of a guy. I've been wrestling with this guy. I had to throw him into pigs. The pigs ran off the cliff. I just got off the boat. What do you want? He says, my daughter's dying. You know what? My God is so great, no matter how tired you might think he is of you, he is always willing to come to your house. That's how awesome my God is. He's on his way to the house. The doctor is in, and on his way to heal a girl who's dying, another lady who has issues shows up, and the doctor is always in. He not only goes to heal, but he heals on the way. Jesus has time for you. That's how great it is. That's what I know. It says, a large crowd followed and pressed on him. Even when it's crowded, even when Jesus is busy, he's got time for you. Number three, he's always on call. Jesus is always on call. I want to show you a verse on this. In verse 26, this is amazing. Did you catch this in this story when it was being read this morning? This woman suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent everything. Yet instead of getting better, she got worse. How many of us are looking for human solutions to godly problems? We live in a world that is going to offer you every worldly solution. And you wonder why you're getting worse? You wonder why our world is getting worse? I mean, good grief, I turned on the news this weekend and Canadians were being killed by terrorists. A guy goes into a high school and starts shooting in Seattle. I thought, really? Another shooting in another school by another ninth grader. And the police said this, we want to find all we can out about this boy so we can learn, and this will never happen again. And I thought to myself, you know what? It's happening, and it keeps happening, because the last person we're going to turn to is Jesus. How about we go into the schools, and we post in every classroom these things. Commandment number one, have no other gods, or there is no God like Jehovah. Number two, have no other gods. Number three, don't use his name in vain. Number four, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Number five, don't dishonor your mom and dad. Number six, don't commit murder. That's kind of a cool thing to put in our school. But in 1972, we thought it was such a wonderful idea in Brown versus Board of Education that we said, hey, we got a great idea. Let's take this to the Supreme Court. We're going to outlaw the name of Jesus and prayer in our schools. Isn't it interesting? The first place we ought to go for a solution is the last place we think about. People say to me, I can't find my keys. Did you pray about it? Why would I do that? Why wouldn't you? No, I'll use all my human effort to do it. You know what? Do I believe that God works in that? 100%. Well, you don't think God cares about your keys? He cares about the hair on your head. I don't care about the hair on your head. It keeps changing color, shapes, and sizes. You can't even keep up with it. And yet Jesus says, I will number the hairs of your head and I will know that I love you so much, there's nothing in your life I don't care about. Man, my God is an awesome God. I just want to brag about him. And so in 1972, we came up with this brilliant idea. Let's fire God. Oh yeah, let's get him out of the schools and let's not pray. In the 1980s, we thought it was a great idea to remove his name and the commandments from everything we could, even in our government, our courtrooms, and anything to even mention. In the 1990s, we said, we've got a brilliant idea. Let's take him out of Christmas. Let's call it a very important day. Let's not even mention Christmas. We don't want to say Merry Christmas. We might offend people, because God help us that the very answer that the world needs is the thing that we're outlawing. He's the last person we go to, and he's the first solution to every problem. He's the one that can take the chaos of the Ebola, the storm in our lives from our sin, and he can wake up the immunity, and he can come in and heal us. Oh. You don't think it's true? In the 1990s, we just fired God. And then in the year 2000, something happened. 2001, I was in the basement at staff meeting over on North River Road at a church as a youth pastor. And they said at 9:37, turn the TV on. And at 9:37, I turned the TV on. And I saw an airplane fly into the World Trade Center. And I said, God help us. We have a blood problem. And another plane. And another one hit the Pentagon. And another one would have done something. But thank God that in the worst times, the best of us rises up and says, let's roll. And they took that plane down in Pennsylvania. Thank God for heroes in our world. Thank God for people who recognize the problem for what it is and said, we don't care about our lives. We want to save other lives. They recognize the problem. So here it is. Jesus always, I said he's always on call. Jesus has lots of patience, and he is patient with us, because in our world of political correctness, listen, when you're politically correct, that is trumped by your personal problems. So in the year 2000, a plane went down. You know what's amazing to me? It's amazing that the last place we go is to Jesus until we need him. And on the front steps of the United States of America, in the front steps of our Capitol building, all the senators who made all these laws saying we don't need Jesus, and that's got to be the biggest threat in the world, stood on the Capitol and just kind of impromptu, this was not prompted, it just kind of broke out, said these words, and isn't this interesting? God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her, and would you guide her from the night with the light, from above, from the mountains to the valleys. God, would you bless him? Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? There are no atheists in foxholes. When we need him, You know, people come to me all the time. I mean, they can cuss, they can swear, they can drink, they can just, their lives fall. They don't want anything to do with God. My phone rings off the hook with people who are in those moments that say, I need this Jesus. Will you pray for me, Pastor? Will you help me, Pastor? Help! You know how many atheists I meet in those moments? Zero. There's not an atheist among us in the right situation. Everybody knows the healer's coming. The healer's coming. I've heard about him. And in your moment, you're just like Jairus, Jairus' daughter. You know it's ironic that God is patient? Jairus' daughter. Jesus gets off this boat. Here's this ruler of a synagogue. This blows my mind. Let's go to this verse. Let's pull this up. Let's pull up verse 22 and 23. Verse 22 and 23, it says that this guy, Jairus, it says, one of the synagogue, let me stop. Pharisees and Sadducees, you hate Jesus. They're sitting around going, don't worry about this Jesus guy. I know he's walking around the Sea of Galilee. He's going around Jerusalem. He's healing people. He's casting out demons. There are thousands that follow. Don't worry. We're going to kill him. We're going to kill him. We're going to hang this guy. We're going to strip his body down. We're going to fillet him like no human's been filleted. We'll have his body so stripped down, you'll see the bones in the back of his legs. You'll see his blood vessels pounding blood that'll be squirting out of his body. So he goes into hypovolemic shock. We'll stretch his arms out of socket. We will put 9-inch spikes through his feet and his hands. We'll mock him. We'll spit. Don't worry about this, Jesus. I got to go home, guys. That was a good meeting at church. Woo! Honey, what's going on? Our daughter, she's got some kind of fever. She didn't go to school today. Oh, she'll get better. Comes home the next day. Her fever's gotten worse. You know what? I'll get a couple turtle doves. As the religious leader of my synagogue, I'll just sacrifice a couple turtle doves, and she'll be okay. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim. Blessed be the Lord our God who makes. She's not getting better. Hey, guys, I'm going to need you guys to pray at church for my daughter. She's not doing well. You know, I'm the synagogue leader, and she's not getting better. Comes home. She's in a coma. She's in a coma. She is dying. The wife, you got to do something. Where is God? He's walking down the street. He just got off a boat. Jesus, I need you. He falls at Jesus' feet. He cries, I need you. I need you. I don't care anything I've ever thought about you. I don't care that I didn't believe in you. Would you come to my house? And Jesus is not a respecter of persons. He'll take any patience. He'll come to your house. Even when you don't deserve it. I want to brag on my God. He is God. On his way to heal a woman. If I could just get to him. If I could just get to him. If I could just get to him. And I want to close this way. I want to close the service this way. I've been waiting to use this for 2 years. This is my prayer, Shaw. The Bible says, take the commandments of the Lord, tie them in knots, and wear them in Deuteronomy. The end of this tassel is called a tzitzit. The tassels are called tzitzis. It's Hebrew. It's Hebrew for fringe or feathers. Jesus is walking through a crowd. He's wearing his prayer shawl because he's the Rabboni. He is my rabbi. And they would wear this, and these knots are tied. There are 613 strings and knots because there are 613 commandments of God. Because I take the word of God everywhere with me, and I hold on to the promises. And when this woman reached out to Jesus, she did the last thing. She reached out to Jesus, and she grabbed the translation, she grabbed the fringe, the tzitzit of his prayer cloth. She grabbed the promises of God. I don't know how she even got to him. She got to him. How did she get to him? She's iron deficient because she's been losing blood, ladies, gentlemen. She's frail. And Jesus has a crowd pressing around him. And there's James and John, sons of thunder, and Thomas and Bartholomew in there. Come on, Jesus, let's get through this crowd. We're getting to Jairus' house. We'll get you there in time. And in the midst of these crowds, everybody's trying to reach out. Everybody's trying to get a piece of this guy. This guy's famous. He's incredible. And they're all, and just crowds are pressing. Jesus is being pressed. Impressing Jesus doesn't get your healing, but reaching out in faith will. And in the middle of the crowd, somehow this, why aren't you healed? Why isn't God doing this in your life? Why isn't, because maybe you're not pressing in enough. And that's the last thing this morning. You got to press. I want healing. I got to press. This is going to hurt. I hate needles. If I want the blood of Christ flowing in me, I got to reach out and I got to press in. And this woman, I don't know how she did. I don't know if she's walking by a bunch of teenage guys and they're like, old lady? She's like, get out of my way. I don't know what she did. I don't know if she just walked and they just went, get out of her way. But she made her way to Jesus. And through that crowd, she could have been trampled. She could have been broken. And somehow she gets through James and John and all the other guys. And she reaches out and she gets a hold of the Word of God. The Word of God in flesh. He is the Word of God. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And when you get a hold of God, He said, hold on. They go, what's going on? Hold on. Everybody stop. Master, what's going on? Somebody touched me. Master, everybody's touching you. He said, no. Somebody got a hold of me by faith. They didn't touch me. Their faith grabbed a hold of my promises. And power shot out of me. Because when we reach out by faith, He reaches back by power. He says, power's gone out of me. Stop. And this woman who was unclean, because bleeding women and dead animals do not touch rabbis. It makes them unclean. The translation is, cleanliness has gone out of me. That's what the Greek says. Not power. Cleansing has gone out of me. And what was unclean has now become clean. Because when you get an IV of Jesus, that blood will change your life. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Whoa, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount. There's no other fount I know than the blood of Jesus. He's my IV. He's my inner victory. He's my healer, my redeemer. He's my tzitzi. He's my 613 promises. He's my savior. And He is my first solution to every human issue I have. Let's stand and pray. Wednesday night, 92 teenagers over here. I asked them a question. Are you Christians? Raise your hand if you're a Christian. And they, 92 teenagers. There was 100 something of us over here. It's incredible what happens in that student ministry. Almost every hand went up. 99% raised their hand and said, we're Christians. I said, raise your hand if as a Christian you feel like you're still struggling. You have this storm going on inside. Just the blood is still boiling. 95% of the kids raised their hand and said, I don't understand this. You're a believer in Christ and you still have a storm inside. So you got forgiveness of your sins and the blood covered the outside. But have you had the blood change the original sin on the inside? Have you had a transfusion? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Behold, the old thing is past. All things are new. Too many Christians settle for just being forgiven. Christ came to transform you, not just to forgive you. Live a different life. Live a life. Oh, That's the word life. Let me pray for you. Father, there's some in here this morning that need life. Would you transform them? God, there's some in here that I'm a Christian. I know the Lord, but God, I need an IV. I need to press in. I will do whatever it takes before I go home today. I know I'm going to go home, eat some lasagna, watch the Lions win. But God, help us that on this Lord's Day, the sun sets and I still don't have peace. Let me encourage you today. Go home and don't let the sun set. Get your children on the floor with you. Get your spouse. Pray and cry out to God. Come to my house and heal me. The Savior is walking by. Don't live in turmoil. He will heal you. Father, give us that healing, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Somewhere between